We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
You know, there are many passages in the Bible that are the same for everybody. Mark 16:15, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the same for every person in the world. Acts 17:30, God commands all men everywhere to repent. It's the same for everyone in the world. It even says it, all men everywhere. 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. Now somebody might say, well, that's just for Christians. Well, all men are commanded to repent and become Christians. And so that command applies to all men everywhere in the world. But you know, then there are some passages in the Bible that are very specific to me. Romans 14:23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, in that passage, he's not talking about the faith. He's talking about personal faith. He's talking about matters of personal conviction. And as a matter of fact, we usually refer to this as matters of conscience. And what he's saying is, don't violate your conscience. Now, that passage gets very personal for me. Philippians 2:12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What's he mean by that? The plan of salvation is the same for everybody. So what's he getting at? What he's getting at is that there is a very personal application with regard to salvation. Nobody can do it for me. God has designed the plan of salvation. He sent His Son to die. I accept His grace by obeying the gospel. But now it gets personal for me. I've got to discipline myself. I've got to know my own personal strengths and my own personal weaknesses, and I've got to deal with them accordingly. Nobody else can do this. For me, every day of my Christian walk, it's very personal. Here's a very interesting passage. 1 Peter 2:7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Now, what does that mean? What's he talking about? What knowledge does he have in mind that I'm to have when I dwell with my wife? Some people have said, well, what he means is the knowledge about what God says with reference to marriage. Now, certainly, I think that needs to be part of the knowledge a husband has. Some people say, well, what he means there is a man needs to have the knowledge that men and women are different, that God did not make us the same, and to appreciate those differences. Certainly, I think a man needs to know that. That's an essential knowledge to have. But I think this is one of those personal passages. Because, you see, my wife is different from your wife. And somebody else's wife is different from both of our wives. And so I have to dwell with my wife according to the knowledge of who she is. As a matter of fact, earlier in that chapter, in 1 Peter 3:1, the text says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. The word own there is a very interesting word. It's from the Greek word idios. Do you know what it means? No, it doesn't mean idiot. He's not saying, I know you're thinking that. He's not saying, dwell with your own idiot husband. The Greek here is the word that means your own. In fact, that word, along with another Greek word, is where we get our English word idiosyncrasies. That is your own particular characteristics. Wives are to dwell with their own husbands, and husbands are to dwell with their own wives according to knowledge. Now, certainly that means more than just a general knowledge of women. It means a knowledge of my wife with her particular idiosyncrasies. Now, what am I getting at with all of this? What I'm getting at is it has to be personal. This is where I have to delve into the heart. I've got to know something about myself. I've got to know my strengths and weaknesses. I've got to know something about my wife and about her personality. Here's another passage. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, the Bible says, examine yourself. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? This is a passage that is very personal, and it calls upon me to do self-examination. That is, I've got to look deep in my heart. I've got to compare myself to the Word of God. I've got to see some things about my personality, about my strengths, about my weaknesses, so that I can know something about myself, so that I can discipline myself. Now, you know, it only makes sense when I go to the Bible that I find passages that deal with very personal things, things that are specific to me, because we're all different. God has made us different. And our genetics are different. And we have different upbringing. And we have different personalities. There are scores of factors that make us different and unique people. And there's nothing wrong with that. God made us that way. But what it also means is that each of us are going to have different challenges. Each of us are going to have different struggles. You know, Brother A may really struggle with getting himself to talk to others about the gospel. But for Brother B, it may come easily. Brother C may really struggle with humility and with compassion. But for Brother D, it's something that's natural. Brother E may struggle standing for the truth, especially if it involves confrontation. That's just hard for him. For Brother F, he might not have a problem at all. I want to do something a little bit out of the ordinary today. You know, oftentimes in the Lord's church, we have appealed to the field of archaeology to show the reliability of the Bible. Sometimes we appeal to the field of astronomy to show the glory of God. Sometimes we appeal to the field of anatomy to show that the wonders of the human body and to refute evolution. I want to use something today from the field of psychology that I think really helps us to do a self-examination and helps us to conform ourselves to the personal aspects of the Bible. I want to talk about something that has been around for a long time. It is called the DISC model of human behavior. Now, normally I'm skeptical of this sort of thing, but I think this is a pretty useful tool. And basically it's nothing but an observation of human behavior. And it states that there are four basic human temperaments. There are four basic personality types among human beings. And out of these four basic temperaments, there are certain struggles that each of them have and certain strengths and certain weaknesses. Now, this is supposed to be up and running, and it's not. There it is. All right, great. This DISC, D-I-S-C, model of human behavior, is taken from a book called Extreme Personality Makeover. Now, there's some good things in this book. I don't recommend everything because he has some denominational things in there, so be careful if you are to read it. But he discusses these four basic temperaments of human beings. Now, Dr. Mels Carbonell has written this book, and he's discussing how to make your life more Christ-like. Now, here's the plan I want to take in the sermon today. I want to talk about four different personality types. I want to talk about strengths and weaknesses associated with each, and then I want to talk about making changes to deal with my particular weaknesses, to make myself more like Christ. All right, first let's talk about the four different personality types. The first one that I'm going to talk about is relating to the D. You see the D-I-S-C. That's the four parts. You're going to be one of those four or a blend of one of those four. A person who is a pure D personality type, we're going to have a description for them in just a moment. But the book says that very few people are a pure personality type. Probably you're not a pure D. Probably you're not a pure I. Probably you're not a pure S or a pure C. Probably you are a blend of one of these personality types. You might be a DC or you might be an IS. They said very few people are a pure one or the other. Well, anyway, if you are curious what your personality type is, you can go to the website that was on the previous page. And this is going the wrong way. There it is. All right, uniquelyyou.net, www.uniquelyyou.net, and it will tell you your personality type, and you might find that helpful as we go on here. All right, the first personality type that we're going to talk about is the D personality type. Dr. Carbonell says that D personality types are people who are direct, demanding, decisive, and dominant. They are active, task-oriented individuals who are determined to get the job done. They are industrious and forceful. They're natural leaders. They're strong leaders, and they like to be the boss. Now, on the downside, he says D personalities can be domineering. They can be demanding. They tend to be impatient and insensitive. They're people who love challenges, and they strive hard to succeed in accomplishing tasks. As a matter of fact, as I thought about each one of these personalities, I tried to think of a Bible character that exemplified this. Who do you think of? I've got one up on the board. But don't you think this could be Diotrephes? Here is a man who is domineering, who is dominant. He likes to be the boss. In fact, 3 John 9 says that he loves to have the preeminence. This is a man who likes to be in control. Now, we're going to talk about some of the weaknesses of this personality in a minute and how they could hurt the church. But let's describe them all first. All right, the next personality type is the I type personality. These are people who are influencing and inspiring types. They are exciting and enthusiastic. These are people who love the crowd, the more the merrier with the I type. They're great communicators. They're people who love to talk. They tend to outshine everyone. Popularity is important to them. Now, on the downside, ego and self-centeredness are their weaknesses. Now, I think you can see some of the struggles that this person is going to have as a Christian. We're going to talk about that in a minute. The I-type person loves to have the limelight. They desire lots of attention and praise. Now, I thought a lot about a Bible character here. I'm thinking maybe Simon Peter. I think you'll see some more why as we describe this a little bit more. And like I said up front, not one person is necessarily going to be a pure D or a pure I. But there are some characteristics of the I that I think really hit Peter, describe Peter. The I personality type is a person who likes to steal the show. And I think you kind of see that characteristic in Peter. All right. Again, we're going to talk about the weaknesses of this person in just a minute. The next personality type is the S type. These are people who are more submissive. They're sensitive. They're the soft types. They tend to be more reserved than other people's. They have a loyal way about them. They have sweet spirits and they're everyone's friends. These are the people that oftentimes volunteer, not to be recognized, but simply because they want to help people. Now, on the downside, people take advantage of the S type because of their kindness. These are people who are vulnerable to manipulation and intimidation. And because of their desire to be friends with people, sometimes people think that makes them weak. Now, I thought it was ironic that the book says this type of personality, though typically they're reserved and timid, they can be extremely protective when their loved ones are threatened. Now, when I thought about a Bible character, I thought about Abigail. Don't you think that's fitting of Abigail? We'll talk about that some more in a minute. Now, the fourth personality type is the C type. This is the competent, cautious, calculating, careful, and critical thinking type. This type of person is the most conscientious. It is the most contemplative personality. This person is not the type who is impulsive. This person does not jump into things. They like clear instructions. Going by the book. That's this type of person. That's the motivation for this person. Now, on the downside, this person can be extremely moody and picky. They are overly concerned with correctness, and sometimes they don't care what anybody else thinks or feels. It's got to be correct. It says they tend to be loners, disinterested in exciting social life, and they are very unbending in their personality. I see some people smiling. You must be a C personality type. Now, for Bible character, I had a harder time with this one, but it kind of reminded me of Thomas. Because this personality wants proof. He wants evidence. It's going by the book. We call Thomas Doubting Thomas, but here's a man who said, I want evidence. And when he received the evidence, he accepted it. All right, I actually took this test online, and I won't tell you what I am. I'll let you guess what I am. Let's talk now about the strengths and weaknesses of these personality types. Because many passages in the Bible call upon me to examine myself, to look at my personal strengths and my personal weaknesses. Now, if I'm a particular personality type and I see that I have a problem with this, then I want to work on it. All right, let's talk about the D personality. If you determine that you are a D personality, then there are some great strengths associated with that. The D personality type is one who is not afraid to lead. They're confident. They're convincing. They're hardworking. They're determined. They're zealous. This is a person who will take charge of a program and get the job done. Now, you can see how there's a need for that type of person in the church. A person to come forward and take hold of a program and to lead it and to make it happen. But what is interesting is the D's greatest weakness is the overuse of its strength. I mentioned that this personality type reminds me of Diotrephes. 3 John verse 9 refers to Diotrephes as the one who loves to have the preeminence. He likes to be in control. You can see where that's a problem in the church. Diotrephes wanted to control everything, and the D personality wants to control everything, but he can't control himself. The bad side of the D personality is that he can be demanding, domineering, cocky, impatient, rude, and forceful. pushing forward comes easy to them, but giving in and letting others control is very hard. Brethren, I'll tell you something. A lot of congregations of the Lord's church have been split by people with that type of personality, who are domineering, who are controlling, who can't... Diotrephes types. It's interesting to me that Diotrephes even starts with a D. He's the D personality type. That'll help you remember that. Now, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 4. Here's the weakness. Somebody might say, that sounds good. I like that type of personality. But listen how it's incompatible with Christianity if you let it get out of control. Matthew 18 and verse 4 says, whosoever humbles himself as a little child, the same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You see, humbling himself is something that's more difficult for a D personality. Ephesians 5 and verse 21 says that we are to submit to one another. You see, the idea of submitting to one another, that's very difficult for the person who likes to be the boss. This is hard for him. But these are principles. If you determine I'm a D personality, you need to camp out in Matthew 18 and verse 4 and Ephesians 5:21 and read these things, because you think, I want to be a Christ-like individual. I want to lead. I want to help the church in that way. But I've got to appreciate humility. I've got to appreciate submission. Now, Dr. Carbonell said that D's need to become more friendly, like I's. They need to be kinder and sweeter, like S's. They need to be more cautious and careful, like C's. And he says D's need to be more humble and quiet, like S's. And he says if you're a D personality, practice complimenting other people. And when you're in a meeting, let other people control it. You feel the desire to control it. He said sit back and let other people do that. Now, let's talk about the strengths and weaknesses of the I personality. What if you examine yourself and determine you have an I personality? Dr. Carbonell says the I's greatest challenge is controlling their emotions, because they tend to be very expressive and feeling-oriented. He says there's never a dull moment around them. I thought of Peter here again. Never a dull moment around them. He says they can be higher than a kite or lower than a skunk, but they tend to be up more than they're down. And he says you seldom have to wonder what an I type is thinking about. Why don't you have to wonder? Because you know, they tell you. You know where they're coming from. Now, on the positive side, he says this person tends to be very good at communication skills, but he says they seldom think before they speak. Now, the I types are good at convincing and influencing other people. You can imagine that the I type is going to be a good encourager in the Lord's church. In fact, I thought about Barnabas here. I thought, I bet Barnabas was an I type, or if he was a blend, an IS or something like that, he would be very strong in the I department. It says that the I types make good first impressions. They inspire people to work together. I mentioned also that I think Peter would have been an I personality. He was a great encourager, but he had a tendency to speak before he thought. He fits this description in a lot of ways. I also found it interesting that it said, just as a side note, eyes often run late and they hurry through their daily schedule, but they tend to be able to throw things together at the last minute and can get away with it, except in the eyes of C-types. They won't let that fly. One of the great shortcomings, it says, of the I personality type, listen to this. This is going to be a weakness. If you determine that you are an I personality type, you have these characteristics, one of their greatest shortcomings is that they are too self-centered. They oftentimes steal the limelight, and they like attention too much. The book says when it comes to showing off and making a splash, you can't beat the I type. They tend to win awards more than other people because they seek approval and praise more than other people. And that sometimes causes them to be boastful and proud. They like to tell you about what they've done. It says that humility is seldom one of the virtues of the I type. It also says they need to listen more. Now, why would you think they need to listen more? They need to listen more because their tendency is they want to interrupt. They want to tell you their thoughts and their feelings instead of listening to you. Now, what if upon self-examination that you determine that you're an I type? This is your personality. Well, you need to capitalize on the strengths. You need to use your ability to encourage other people. Be an encourager, an exhorter in the church. Admonish your brethren. But apply the golden rule, Matthew 7:12. Whatsoever you want men to do to you, do you also unto them. You also need to think about the idea that self-centeredness is a difficulty for you. Now here's some passages that might help you with that. Romans 12 and verse 3 says that a man is not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. If you've got a problem with self-centeredness, think about Romans 12 and verse 3. Write it on your mirror. Not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. You also need to remember that God never intended for me to get the glory. James 4 and verse 6 says, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. I have got to guard against absorbing and keeping all the praise for me and for it being about me, because that is absolutely contrary to Christianity. Christianity is about the one who is last being first. And it's a religion of service and about humility. And so these may be difficult for the person of the I personality. This person also needs to focus on giving God the glory and lifting other people up over themselves, because their tendency is to want to do the opposite. Romans 12 and verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love. Now listen to this. In honor, giving preference to the other. Another translation says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Now what's he saying? It's not about you. He says, honor your brother above yourself. If I'm an I personality, that might be hard for me. I might need to write Romans 12 and verse 10 on the dash of my car and think about that. I'm going to make a conscious effort to be one who honors my brother. I'm going to make a conscious effort not to think of myself more highly than I ought to. Why? Because I'm a Christian. And if I see that I've got this issue, when I examine myself, if I see that I've got a self-centered issue, I want to change it. I want to control it. So I want to go to heaven. All right? What about incidentally, the book suggests that the eyes, this personality type, enjoys the spotlight. And because of that, they should constantly remember that people are evaluating and watching their behavior. In other words, they like to be in the spotlight. So think about the fact people are watching me, and make sure you project Christianity. Make sure that what they see in you is Christ. All right? Let's talk about the S personality type. S personalities tend to be the kindest, most gentle people in the world. They desire to please and to serve other people, and that makes them likable. Their strength is the golden rule. They've just got a natural heart of a Christian servant, and they treat other people the way they want to be treated. It's just natural for them. It says loyalty and faithfulness are great strengths in S-type personalities. Sometimes people think they're antisocial because they tend to be quieter than other people. But the case is that they're shy. And oftentimes they're very sociable when they're among close friends. They are very tolerant and they are very flexible. They are individuals that would be considerate. They are humble. They prefer to let other people get the praise. Now, I said, this reminds me of Abigail from 1 Samuel 25. You remember the sweet disposition of Abigail and how she humbly approached David on behalf of her sorry husband, Nabal. And you remember she wasn't worried about herself. She wasn't worried about the praise. She was worried about taking care of her family. That's also one of the characteristics. They're very protective of their family. Now, you might think, well, the S personality sounds like a perfect Christian. If you're an S, you've got it made. Well, it's true that the S is not going to struggle so much with arrogance. They're not going to struggle so much with self-centeredness. But the S's have their own struggles because they're easily manipulated. In their desire to please other people, they are easily influenced. And sometimes that can be very bad. Think about this. Imagine that you're a young girl and you are an S-type personality. But let's say that you are dating a young man who is a strong personality. Maybe he's a D. Maybe he's a C. Maybe he's a strong D personality. Maybe he's influencing you to do some things that a young girl shouldn't be doing. Your tendency is going to be to want to please. You don't like confrontation. You can be manipulated. You see, peer pressure is going to be something that's very difficult for the S personality. They don't like conflict, and this is something that's hard for them. They're also going to be one who's shy about approaching people with the gospel. And so this is a struggle for them. If it comes to a matter of standing up for the truth and saying, this is how it is and I'm not going to bend, that's going to be hard for the S personality. Now, someone with a D personality might say, I don't understand that. I can say this is how it is, or a C personality, we're going by the book. This is how it is. But the D has different struggles. Now, here's a person. Let's describe the C personality. Here's a person with the C personality. C's are careful and calculating. It says if you want something done right, give it to a C. Because they like to get things done and they do them right. You can imagine how a person like that's going to be an asset to the church. Imagine that a person like that's going to be a great deacon. You've got a task that needs to be accomplished. Give it to this person. They're going to do it. They're going to be sure it's done by the book. They're going to be sure that it's done right. A great asset. But the C personality types tend to be very picky. Sometimes their desire for perfection makes them difficult people to get along with. It says that oftentimes people with a C personality come across as arrogant and quick to judge other people. One of their greatest frustrations, if you're a C type, one of your greatest frustrations is dealing with people who are sloppy and disorganized. C types, it says, are hard on other people. They can be unkind. And it says they especially need to be more sensitive to people's feelings. Dr. Carbonell says C types strive to go by the book. And they demand that everybody abide by the rules. They are picky perfectionists and they are hard on themselves and other people. Now think about this. You know, this is interesting to watch everyone's expressions today. I could tell you what type you are just by looking at the look on your face. Now, I want you to imagine that you're a faithful Christian and you have made a determination about your personality type. Maybe you say, I am a C and I am a strong C personality. You're going to be the type that strives to be faithful to the church. You're going to work for the church. Any job that you are given, you're going to take the task on. You're going to do well at it. But at the same time, you might be one who is overly critical of others. Maybe you're asked to teach a Bible class. You're going to do it. And you're going to do it well. And you're going to put forth the effort. But in that class, you might be overly critical of other people. It may be that you're particularly hard on new converts and those people who are still growing. One of your greatest shortcomings may be patience with other people. You know, Mark chapter 4 and verse 33 says that Jesus taught the people as they were able to hear Him. That is, He taught them where they were, on the level that they were on. And if you're of that highly critical nature, you need to think about the attitude of Christ and reaching out to people where they are. People are not perfect, and they don't become full-grown Christians overnight. Dr. Carbonell also says that C's can also be the hardest on those that they are closest to. Familiarity breeds contempt, and the closer they are to the people, the harder they can be on them. And this person has to guard against demanding perfection of everybody. He or she needs to show genuine concern for other people instead of always harping on how to correct something. Now, every one of these personality types has certain strengths and certain weaknesses that can help them as a Christian. Now, I want to think about this. I want to go back to the beginning of this sermon and look at some of these passages that I mentioned that call for personal examination, that make Christianity very personal. Romans 14:23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That is a passage that's talking about personal scruples, matters of conscience. Now, what if I'm a C personality type and I'm a highly critical type person? But I've got a brother who has a sensitive conscience, and he has a scruple in a certain area. And I might have a tendency to want to criticize him and say, that's not how it is. You're just crazy about that. That's not what the Bible says. But you know, if I do that, I'm sinning. Romans 14 and verse 13 says, let us not therefore judge another anymore. He's not talking about matters of right and wrong. He's talking about matters of conscience. There are some things that are not matters of right and wrong. And if I've got a personality type that tends to judge people for things that are not matters of right and wrong, I got to work on that. That could cost me my soul. What about Philippians 2 and verse 12? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The C personality type is very hard on himself and on other people. As he's working out his own salvation in his day-to-day walk, he might make himself miserable trying to be a Christian, trying to serve the Lord, because he's so hard on himself, he's demanding perfection and he can't do it. And he needs to understand that can't happen. I'm never going to be perfect. I can be forgiven and washed by the blood of Christ, but I'm not going to be perfect. How about this? 1 Peter 2 and verse 7, likewise you husbands dwell with your own wives according to knowledge. What if I am a self-centered, I love the limelight, I personality, and my wife is a meek, humble S personality? What's going to happen? It might be that I don't give her the attention she needs because everything is about me. And it may be that I end up hurting my marriage, and I may end up neglecting my role, my proper role as a husband. Well, upon self-examination, what if you realize that you have these characteristics? You may say, I don't believe in any of these. You know, the D-I-S-C personality. I don't believe in any of this stuff. But you do know the Bible teaches we can be self-centered. And you do know you've got to work on that. You do know that you can be overly demanding and too critical and too judging. And all of these characteristics are biblical. And what if you realize I have some of these characteristic traits that are not right? What do you do about it? Have you ever known a person who has said something like this? They'll say, well, you know, I'm just outspoken and I'm outspoken and I say what's on my mind and that's just how I am. My daddy was that way and I'm that way too. You ever heard somebody say that or something like that? Without saying it, what that person is actually implying is, I can't change. Or maybe they're implying, I'm not going to change. This is just how I am. This is who I am. You know, the entire point of doing self-examination and finding my weaknesses is so that I can make changes. Philippians 2 and verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It involves looking at my weaknesses and molding myself to be more like Christ. Now, when he says, let the mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, what mind is he talking about? If you look at that particular text, he's talking about the self-emptying mind. It's a person who's humble. Empty yourself of self. What if that's not my natural disposition? That means then I've got to work on myself. If I'm an S personality type, this passage is going to be a lot easier for me to be self-emptying. But if I'm an I personality type, this is going to require some work. I'm really going to have to put forth some effort. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1 says, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. That's our goal. Think about our weaknesses and then make appropriate changes so that I can be a faithful Christian. You know, submitting to your husband would be a lot easier for a woman who's an S than it would for a woman who's a D. If you're a woman who's dominant, who's controlling, who likes to be the boss, Ephesians 5:25 is going to be hard for you submitting to your husband. But you know what? The S and the D both have to submit to their husbands. And so that's why we need to be followers of Christ. The gospel has the power to change me. And if I will read it and I'll meditate on it and hide it in my heart and apply it to my life, ultimately the personality type that I will become, that I want to become, is the Christ-like personality. Maybe you're here today and you say, I do have weaknesses in my character. I'm dominant. I have a problem with arrogance. I like to be in control. For a person like that, obeying the gospel may be very difficult. But you know, the Bible demands that you humble yourself. It demands that you have the heart of a servant. And it demands that you obey the gospel plan of salvation. That plan teaches in order to go to heaven, a man needs to hear the gospel and he needs to believe it. John 8:24, Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Upon hearing it and believing it, a man needs to repent of his sins. Acts 17 and 30, the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Then a man needs to confess his faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as did the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8 and 37 when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you must be baptized in water for the remission of sins. 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21 says, the like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Romans 6, 3 and 4 and Acts 2, 47 says, the Lord will add you to His church, which is His body, the only institution wherein salvation can be found.